We're going to be talking about a really interesting Indigenous solidarity initiative today called Wage Solidarity for an event that's happening tomorrow called Nourish the Nation. And joining us on the phone from Edmonton to talk about that, we have Ruby Smith-Diaz, who is part of the Wage Solidarity Initiative. Ruby, welcome to the program.
Hi, welcome. Thank you.
So to begin, can you tell us a little bit about this event, Nourish the Nation, and events that are happening in different communities across Turtle Island tomorrow?
Yeah, definitely. So the idea was inspired by Queen Sasheen of Ancestral Pride from the Yahuwtsic Nation. And in her zine, Allies Not Accomplices, she talks about ways that settler people especially can contribute to frontline Indigenous movements. And one of the ideas was to donate your wages from a day's, basically from a day's time of work towards a local or Indigenous autonomous nation campaign. And so specifically, I was thinking, what could happen with this idea if we were to take it to a nationwide level? And so what we had started was for tomorrow, December 4th, is we're making the ask for people to donate whatever it is that they make in that day or a portion of their wages towards Nourish the Nation, which specifically is a project of an 84-year-old elder from the Shukwamuk Nation, Wolverine, who has an 8-acre garden. And in that garden, he contributes everything he has towards frontline communities that are facing extraction projects.
Wonderful. Can you tell us, actually, maybe elaborate a little bit more on Wolverine and the garden, and basically what this money is going to be supporting? I believe it's $30,000 is the fundraising goal.
Yeah, our goal is $30,000. And basically, that's to cover the costs of getting a small tractor, upgrading the irrigation system there, installing an electric fence to keep some of the bears out in the area. And Wolverine, near KCC, actually farms all by himself 8 acres worth of land. It's a traditionally grown garden, which means that it doesn't use any pesticides. It's not genetically modified in any way. It's technically certified organic. Of course, he doesn't go for that term because he doesn't want anything from the state basically like categorizing his food. But with that, he specifically donates everything to local elders, single families, and other nations nearby that he has. And so that's exactly what the money would go towards, to be able to pay for those costs that are upcoming, costs that are accrued, so that he's able to continue this project over the next couple years.
Mm-hmm. Another really interesting aspect of Wolverine's farming, from what I can understand, is that he donates food directly to communities who are on frontline struggles being waged against resource extraction. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, definitely. The way that he specifically supports, for example, the Unist'ot'en camp, I was actually there a few months ago to help support the week-long camp that was being held. And he actually showed up there with his SUV full of squash, all different kinds of beans, tomatoes, everything that he had brought up there. And I think this is particularly an important thing to do for nations that want to have a good quality of food, first off, but also that want to have autonomous control over what it is that they're putting into their bodies. And this is super important because when we think about the front lines and about areas that are remote, that are difficult to get to, that, you know, under certain circumstances might not necessarily have access to urban sites of food, he actually provides a service that allows folks to maintain their strength, are well-fed, and in a really healthy, traditional way, have food that is locally grown and that is raised in a good way for folks, too.
So we're speaking with Ruby Smith-Diaz of the Wage Solidarity Initiative. I want to kind of come back to the kind of fundraising ethics around this, which I think are really interesting. So on the Facebook page, it states, this project is not meant as a substitute for physical action, but rather as a step towards mutual aid and solidarity. Many allies and cities who often look to physically support these projects, such as the projects we're talking about with the UNIS Stoughton camp and other blockades and such, are at times not able to do so due to issues such as work commitments, reduced mobility, or family responsibilities. So Ruby, can you talk a little bit about this fundraiser and how it would kind of differ from, let's say, you know, traditional kind of charity fundraisers that we think about at this time of year?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the one thing to note about charities in particular are that the model really focuses on the person who's giving and what that feels for that person who's giving, never mind really what kind of relationship is built between the two people. There's already an ingrained assumption in a charity model that the person that you're helping out, A, isn't capable of helping themselves, and B, isn't empowered in a certain way to also be able to help you under a similar circumstance. There's an assumption also that the struggles are different and that they're not related. And so for wage solidarity, it's really important to recognize that struggles of Indigenous people, of people of color, of settler and allies are all interrelated in that they're not separate. Our existence depends on these frontline struggles that are happening right now. Our existence depends on the people that are putting their lives on the line for the blockade. And we need to be able to support that in any way we can. And so for folks living in cities, sometimes specifically that's complicated for people who have different kinds of abilities, for people who have different family responsibilities, who might not be able to just pack up and leave and go to the front lines. We wanted to provide an opportunity for people to actually engage in a meaningful way with the project when they're maybe not able to provide a physical presence. And so this being said, we really want to encourage people that if they can in the future actually, you know, be a physical presence at these sites, at these blockade sites in particular, that they go ahead and do that. And that just because you're giving money this one time doesn't mean that, you know, that's your free pass for the year or that this work isn't ongoing. So I think that's what really differentiates wage solidarity from other kinds of charity models.
Mm-hmm. So again, Nourish the Nation is the event that's happening in several communities across so-called Canada, Turtle Island. Tomorrow, November the 4th, people can search Wage Solidarity Turtle Island on Facebook to get more info. But lastly, Ruby, can you maybe just tell us how can people donate and get more info on this?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can donate by sending an e-transfer to wage.solidarity@gmail.com. You can do that before the 4th, tomorrow, or after. But specifically for tomorrow, we're asking for people to send their donation through PayPal on the brown paper ticket link that's on our website, on our Facebook website. And you can use PayPal to do that. If folks aren't able to use credit card or debit, there are different organizing contacts that are based out of so-called Vancouver, Victoria, Edmonton, Calgary, Montreal, and Toronto that are ready to go and pick up cash donations if you have that. And once again, 100% of this money raised is going directly towards Wolverine and this project. And I think particularly it's important to fundraise for this project because of the Shequipmuc Nation and the work that they're doing in resisting much of the pipelines and energy projects that are happening out west, because it's a key area where we already have the Harper Creek Mine, Ajax Mine, New Afton Mine, Mica Dam, Kinder Morgan pipelines are trying to go through there, Mount Polly, the disaster there, and the Rudder Creek Mine. They're all in Shequipmuc territory, so if people are able to, please do so. Consider your position as a settler, if you are a settler. And this is just a symbolic gesture of being on this land, continuously occupying these lands, and helping and being a solid ally for folks on the front lines who are doing this incredibly important work.
Again, we've been speaking with Ruby Smith Diaz of the Wage Solidarity Initiative, joining us on the line today from Edmonton. Ruby, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.